Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Returning to Romans chapter 14, we are talking now about the benefits of biblical Christian unity. And I'm trying to show you that Paul, by the Spirit of God, teaches us that the cause of Christ benefits by encouraging diversity within the body of Christ. Now, we're not talking about diversity in essential doctrines and practices. There must be conformity to those things that are clearly, thus saith the Lord. But there is to be diversity in non-essentials. And that's beneficial when we have that, but so often Christians want to segregate themselves into fellowships that believe and practice exactly what they believe and practice in every detail, in the non-essentials as well as the essentials. And I mentioned in closing yesterday where some of these non-essential differences come from among believers. And some are due to cultural factors, and some are due to personality differences, and some are due to differing growth rates of spiritual growth and development. And some of these differences are going to remain with us until we get to heaven. We're not going to be able to iron them all out here, but if we will address them properly, we will actually, be able to iron out a great many more of them than we generally are successful in doing, because we are generally addressing them in the wrong way. And that's what Romans chapter 14 helps us to see. Now, what is the usual attitude of believers towards those who differ from them? The usual but the wrong attitudes of believers towards those who differ from them in matters not essential. Well, putting believers largely, generally, into two categories, we see both attitudes represented by Romans chapter 14. The first of all are those believers who tend to be less strict. They tend to allow themselves a great deal more Christian liberty. And then in the second category are those believers who are more strict. They tend to restrict themselves more than what the Bible requires. So, what are the attitudes of each of these believers towards the others? And here is what it is. The non-strict usually regard strict believers with contempt. Now, Romans 14:3. Let not him who eats, that is, allows himself to eat everything, the Christian liberty of eating anything, because he knows that God does not disapprove of that, but let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat, that is, the strict brother, judge him who eats. So there's your two attitudes right there. Or notice verse 10. For why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so the less strict brother, we'll call him the Christian liberty brother. He has a good concept of Christian liberty, a well-developed concept of Christian liberty, but his weakness is that he tends to view stricter Christians with contempt. He considers them to be stupid. They don't understand what he understands about the Bible. They don't have as solid and mature an understanding of Christian liberty as he has. He tends to view them as being too rigid. He views them as partisan, as foolish, as lacking in common sense, and so forth. He He tends to despise them. He tends to judge them very critically. And that's wrong. But the more strict believers are very happy to return the favor. Because the stricter believers tend to judge the Christian liberty believers as being guilty of sin. Those things which they allow as Christian liberty, which I am very strict about, well, I call them liberal. I call them sinful. And so the strict brother is very prone to judge others as guilty of sin, those who differ from himself. Forgetting that God has accepted him. Why are you rejecting him? Forgetting that God will judge him if he's wrong. Why are you doing that now? Verse 4, who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. So God is able to make him stand. What does that mean? Well, to stand as acceptable to his master in his daily service. To stand perseveringly through life and safely to heaven. God is able to make him stand in the day of judgment, standing with the righteous when the wicked no longer stand. All of the above. That's what God is able to do with all of his blood-bought children. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, then his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's going to stand in the day of judgment. If he's God's child, he will stand. He will be counted as acceptable to his master on that day of judgment. He will stand the tests and trials of life and continue to trust the Lord and to cling to him. And so for you to be critical of him, for you to be judgmental toward him, is taking upon yourself the role of the judge, which is reserved for the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not our job to judge our believer in regard to these matters which are non-essential, in which he differs from me. But our job is to receive him into our fellowship. Romans 14:1, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. And it's God's job to mold him and us into useful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, that process is greatly helped when we obey the principles of Romans chapter 14 and receive people who differ into our church fellowship and learn to fellowship with them, to interact with them, to communicate with them, to learn more about them, to talk to them about these differences in a God-honoring way. And so if a brother is willing to be identified with us and accountable to the church, faithful to the local church, then he is to be received, not rejected, on the basis that he differs with us about some of these non-essential matters. We should be happy to receive him. Because, as I say, God uses the fellowship of the church to grow and sanctify all of us. And if we only fellowship with people who are exactly like us in every detail and every opinion, we lose some of the God-intended benefit of the church. We tend to want to seek our comfort zone. So we want to fellowship only with people who see things exactly the way we do. But God wants to grow us and stretch us, and that requires taking us outside our comfort zone. And although Paul may say more about those who judge than about those who hold others in contempt, both attitudes are really an inappropriate form of judging. Whether we're talking about the Christian liberty believer who is critical and holds in contempt the stricter brother, that's a form of judging. You're judging that brother defective, unacceptable, unworthy of your fellowship. That's wrong. That's contemptible. That's proud. That's despicable. Every bit as much as that strict Christian brother who is judging the Christian Liberty brother and judging him as being guilty of sin in areas that the Bible doesn't call sin. You have no right to do that. You have no right to do that. And these matters that the Bible defines as non-essential. And so there is benefit by having people of these different opinions within the same body. This kind of diversity can help us to grow in grace and knowledge. And so our first point is that the cause of Christ benefits by encouraging diversity within the body of Christ. But secondly, I want you to see that the cause of Christ benefits by encouraging independent thinking among believers in matters non-essential, which is often considered to be a threat to church unity. Sometimes thought a threat to church leadership. I can't let anybody have an independent opinion from mine, different from mine. Why, that threatens my leadership. That threatens our church unity. We've got to have conformity. No, we don't have to have conformity on matters non-essential. Now, it's true that differences about things non-essential can be a threat to church unity and can be a threat to church leadership, but they shouldn't be. They can be if they are, these differences, these non-essential differences, are not held in the right spirit. But if they are understood and practiced in the way that we are taught in Romans chapter 14, in a spirit of Christian love and kept within biblical guidelines, then they can be beneficial. And they should be allowed without censure, without pressure, without punishment, without pressure to conform everybody in this body to thinking the same way. Now we're going to deal with some particulars, a lot of particulars before we're done, because I'm going to comb back through Romans chapter 14 again and again and again with different applications. But let me just bring one up here. The matter of what do you wear to church, formal or informal dress. Boy, that divides a lot of Christians. And what it tends to do is to divide Christians up according to the way they dress. Here's the church over here, where everybody's expected to dress very formally, suits and ties for the men and Sunday dresses for the women. And then over here, you've got a Christian fellowship that may doctrinally believe exactly the same thing, but there, everybody dresses informally. No shirts and ties, generally slacks for the women, very casual attire. Now, they believe the same things, but they're all divided over dress. What should we see in this situation? We should see, no doubt, a church that has a mixture of dressing up and dressing down without anybody being critical or judgmental of the others. Each one acting according to what he believes is most pleasing to the Lord without being judgmental and critical toward his Christian brother that differs with him. Why is that so hard? But evidently it is. The dress-up crowd, very critical of the casual crowd. The casual crowd, very critical of the dressing-up crowd. No love, no tolerance, no acknowledgement that these are non-essentials, but division over such a non-essential matter. That's usually the way it goes, but that is not the way it ought to go. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.